Hello and welcome to another episode of the Star Blades, fresh off the back of the news of yet another postponement. Danny, what more can you tell us?
Yeah, well, the situation as far as we know it is that the Preston game on Boxing Day is no longer. Similar story to the QPR game, I think, in that, well, we know that Preston informed the EFL that they don't have enough players to play the game, essentially. That is, as Ryan Lowe said this morning, a combination of COVID and injuries. You know, as we know now, the EFL rules say that if you have less than 14 players through COVID or injuries or whatever else, then you can call the game off. So Preston have, I was going to say take advantage there, but Preston have done that in calling the game off. There's no suggestion that they've done anything improper there. They had a lot of positive cases, Ryan said this morning. They've gone for PCRs, which have come back negative. I imagine, because of the way the world, some players will be isolating as well. And the decision has been taken that they don't have enough players to play the game. So the game's off. Boxing Day is free. I don't know, last time Sheffield United didn't play on Boxing Day, so if anyone knows that, feel free to let us know off the top of their heads. And it's just a little bit of a disappointment, really, coming off the back of such a brilliant result and good performance on Monday night. You know, Paul Heckingbottom and his players will have been desperate to carry on that good form and that good performance and you know, claim back more ground on that top six. But that won't happen on Sunday. So we have a blank game week on Boxing Day, and then all eyes on the Hull game on the 29th. So hopefully that one goes ahead, because, you know, it's that time of year, isn't it, when games are dropping, you know, by the minute every time you check social media, another game's gone. And so it's just kind of fingers crossed and hope there's no more issues before the Hull game.
Yeah, we are live on Facebook, by the way. So if you've got any questions or comments about Boxing Day or Hull City, just drop us a line. Do you understand, Danny, were there any issues at Sheffield United's end?
There's issues, yeah. Ollie McBurney and Dave McGoldrick both missed the Fulham game. It's unsure. It wasn't revealed whether they have COVID or whether they were isolating because of it. But on the whole, I think United have been quite stringent with their own measures in dealing with this, with COVID. You know, no club can you know, eradicate it completely, because that's just not the way of the world, is it? You know, we're dealing with this, you know, by the day, and football clubs are no different. But United have implemented their own measures. I think they deserve credit for that, the way that they've stringently kind of done everything they can to avoid breakouts like this. It's just unfortunate that, you know, two of the last three games, I think, have been a fallen victim to it by no fault of their own. So it's frustrating for United, you know, but, you know, as we always said since this pandemic started, you know, it's far bigger issues at play, isn't it, than just playing football. I know that's what we're dealing with here on this podcast, but, you know, sometimes you have to look at the bigger picture. And we, of course, with this virus, the best of luck and the best recovery. And like I said, all just have to kind of look forward to the next game now and hope that goes ahead, because, you know, United are in a damn good run of form now. And, you know, as much as we said that football's not the be-all and end-all, you know, that's the industry that we are all in, that United are in especially. And, you know, they have to make the best of this good form while they're in it, you know, because, you know, form, as we know in football, can come and go very quickly, can't it? So they'll want to carry on in a good vein as much as they can. And they'll be desperate to get back out there as soon as possible.
Yeah. How much of a blow do you think it'll be for their momentum, mate? It's four wins in a row now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, it didn't do too much harm to miss the QPR game when they went to Fulham.
True.
But yeah, as we said before, you know, if you offered Paul and his squad the chance, you know, do you want to play this game or do you want to have a week off? I'm sure that they want to get out there and kind of, they'd have probably played on Tuesday if they could, you know, because they just want to carry on that form. And, you know, winning becomes a habit as much as losing can, doesn't it, sometimes? So they'll want to, desperate to get out there and, like you said, carry on that good run of form. Four, five, you know, we said earlier in the season when they started quite poorly, you know, time does rapidly run out in football, doesn't it? And, you know, they've done really well to claw that gap back to 3 points to the top six. But, you know, they'll want that gap to close sooner rather than later. So, yeah, it will be a blow to their momentum. You know, if you offer them the chance to play again, they'd definitely take it. But obviously, they're not going to be playing this weekend. And all eyes on the Hull game. Hopefully, that goes ahead as well.
Yeah. I hate to be the bearer of bad news for anyone who doesn't know, but Grant McCann is now self-isolating after testing positive. No news on a postponement. Hull did play last weekend and they're still due to play on Boxing Day. So touch wood that one goes ahead. I presume with 24 games left, Danny, 3 points off the playoffs, you're very much a believer they can cut that gap and get into that top six.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It'd be a brave man to bet against them in this form. I mean, it's... credit to them how quickly it's all turned around. I think, you know, if you look back, what, a month, 6 weeks and stuff, people were saying the season's done, you know, forget about any promotion challenge. You know, some people were talking about maybe going down again. So the fact that everything's turned around so quickly, which it often does in football, because that's the sort of fickle nature of it, isn't it? I think they deserve a lot of credit for that. And if they keep playing, you know, the way they have in the last few games, I definitely won't bet against them. I mean, to go to Fulham on Monday night, you know, was a real, you know, it's that old cliche, isn't it? A real statement of intent, because, you know, to go there in the form that Fulham are in, even, you know, talking about they draw the last four matches or something, they've also not lost in a very long time. They have one of the best strikers in the, well, they have the best striker in the Championship. Up front, who scored about 43 goals this so far this season. So to keep him quiet and then come up with a moment of magic at the other end as well, I think it was a real big statement of their intent. And watching that, you know, I think there'll be a lot of clubs in that top six looking over their shoulder at United and thinking, if they can carry on this and really get this going, you know, we're going to be in trouble here. So, yeah, like I say, it's such a shame that the game won't go ahead for so many reasons as well. You know, there'd have been 3,000, 4,000, maybe 5,000 Blades fans going over there on Boxing Day cheering the team on. You know, they have to make other plans now. You know, for some people, this might be their only contact over Christmas, you know, for some people are on their own or whatever. Going to football on Boxing Day is part of the Christmas tradition, isn't it? So they'll have to come up with something else to occupy the time. And it is a real shame, but looking at the case, you know, looking at the situation, I don't know what else could have really been different. If Preston are saying they don't have enough players to fulfil it, and we have no reason to doubt that, then, you know, what else can really be done? Unless you get to a point where the EFL are saying to clubs, you have to play games no matter what, you know, get the under-16s in, get the kids in. Then you have the concerns about, you know, the integrity of the league. You know, if that happens towards the end of the season and one of Sheffield United's promotion rivals are beating a team made up of, you know, Blackburn's under-14s or something, you have something to say about it, wouldn't you? So I don't know how they can get through this. The EFL have been desperate to get games on as often as they can. But, you know, sometimes that's just a situation we're in. Games are going to be falling left, right and centre. And we just have to try and plot our way through it, really.
Sign of the times, definitely. It feels like, with the exception of perhaps the top two, it's not a particularly strong division this season. And therefore, this is a chance for Sheffield United, just thinking more broadly rather than, you know, away from this particular postponement. But they've got a real opportunity now under Paul Heckingbottom to actually go and do something this season, because as I said, the league doesn't seem too strong, and obviously next year there's no guarantees it'll be the same. Obviously the parachute payments will be lower, so it does feel like 24 games is more than enough as well, isn't it, to get something to
definitely make it. Yeah, 100%. I mean, the league seemed pretty strong for the first 20 games or so. Yeah, a real tough start to the season, but you know, they've shown a lot of spirit, a lot of character, a lot of ability as well to turn that round. So I think they deserve, as much as they deserve the criticism that they got earlier in the season, you know, I think they deserve a lot of credit. 24, I mean, you know, United have turned this round in the space of 5 games. You know, they've gone from the season's over, wrap it up, to, you know, some people are already booking the hotels for Wembley. So, you know, 24 games is a hell of a lot of time to carry on that momentum. But, you know, Paul Heckingbottom, is, you know, he'll be telling the players, you know, the season doesn't end now, you know. You know what I mean? They have to keep that hammer down, as it were, keep doing what they've been doing. Don't get carried away with it. It's not going to work. It's not true. But, you know, there's a hell of a lot of time for it to turn the other way as well. But, yeah, like you said, the league's not the strongest it's been in years, you know, apart from the top two. You know, do you really see a particularly strong team making a challenge? West Brom, maybe. Blackburn look really good against Sheffield United. But, you know, there's no one there that you would be terrified of going there in current form. So I think United can take a lot of heart from that, especially when you look at, you know, against Fulham, they had 10 players missing themselves. You know, if you look at the squad, they had two or three strikers missing, a first-choice centre-half, the first-choice goalkeeper's missing, the first-choice midfielder and John Fleck was on the bench. You know, Brewster was in good form, was missing, but Bernie McGoldrick, there's quite a lot of players there who are also missing, have got to come back into this squad. So, you know, there's a chance they can get even better and just stronger by, you know, pure numbers. And the longer that Paul has as well to drill into his team, how he wants them to play and that kind of positive mental attitude as well. You know, I can only see them, hopefully, because we all want to see success for our teams, don't we? You know, I can only see them hopefully getting better as the season goes on.
Touch wood. Obviously, you mentioned it's been a very quick turnaround to five games, or I think four of them under Heckenbottom. What do you put that down to? Or is it not a single thing? Or
it's a tough one, isn't it? It's tough to put it down to, you know, obviously. There's a definite tweak in the intensity in how they're playing. I think there's a hell of a lot more intent in there, and they've kind of got out the habit of shooting themselves in the foot as well and conceding avoidable goals, let's say, which was costing them a lot in games. So he's done well to get them out of that habit. The strikers seem to be more, but again, with, you know, it's not just Paul who's coming, Jack Lester's coming as well to help with the strikers, and Stuart McCall to help with midfielders. I think you can see their impact as well, the strikers particularly, in how clinical they've been. I mean, Illerman's goal on Monday, you know, Jack Lester, with all respect, maybe didn't score too many goals like that during the year. But just having the sheer, I won't use the word I'm trying to think of, the sheer guts and ambition to even try that, you know, there's not many Sheffield United players that I can think of in the past who would score a goal like that.
Could I ask? I was watching the game and I was saying to myself, "Pass, pass." I'm surely I could have been the only person who was saying that, but it was a brilliant.
I think Billy Sharp was as well. I was running alongside him, thinking, you know, slip me in here.
But
it was just unbelievable. You know, they didn't realize at the time how good it was until you saw the replays. You know, didn't particularly have to beat a man because Fulham's defenders kept just backing off and backing off and backing off. But it was the way he kind of shifted. I don't know if it came across on TV, the way he kind of shifted the ball away from the man who was behind him and kind of used his body to kind of just put himself between the man and the ball. And that was just really clever play, really. You know, we've seen goals where, you know, players have beaten five or six players with sheer skill in terms of, you know, a trick and beating them and evading the tackle. This is quite a different kind of goal in terms of clever movement. And then the finish, just audacity, wasn't it? You know, from outside the box to the side foot. You know.
Didn't even need to hit it too hard.
Placed it so well. And, you know, I think Billy's reaction afterwards, I think if it had gone wide, Billy might have had a slightly different reaction to the one he did. But, you know, he just stood there and applauded. And I think that's fair, because, you know, it was a goal worthy of winning any game. Score so early, you have to do a hell of a lot of defending. You know, if you look at the stats, maybe they'll be a little bit misleading, because Fulham seem to have a hell of a lot of dangerous moments in there without really testing the keeper. You know, a lot of crosses flashing across. And, you know,
I felt it was a game where there was a lot of possession and territory, but the only time I was a bit worried for United was just that last couple of minutes when Mitrovic hit the bar, and then I think it was Harry Wilson. Sends it over after that. But no, it was a good evening's work. I saw in that before the game someone had said it was the biggest test yet for Heckenbottom, which I think was a fair comment, and obviously they came through it with flying colours, really. I know it was only a 1-0 win, but sometimes it's it's the statement that kind of is behind it that makes all the difference. We should stress there's a game on New Year's Day, hopefully all being well, Middlesbrough. Feels like a big one for obvious reasons, and United are potentially going into this one in the best possible shape, I guess. Have you had much time to think about this one, Danny?
I know what we're talking about in the build-up to it and the return of Mr. Wilder. But hopefully, yeah, I think it'll be a decent game. I think it'll be too good. You know, Chris won't be coming here and selling for a point or playing for a point. I don't think he'll be determined to to get one over his old team. You know, Blades fan aside, you know, he's a professional man, and he'll be thinking about one thing, and that'll be celebrating 3 points. You know, obviously they've had an upturn of their own, I think it's fair to say, under Chris. He's got them playing his way from what we can gather from people up in the northeast. So, yeah, I think that'll be a good game. I hope Chris, I know we're talking about a game that's, you know, a week away or whatever, over a week away, but I do hope he gets the reception that he deserves from Sheffield United fans for what he did for the club while he was here. I know the way his exit kind of clouded his people's judgment. People's judgment, it should be said. But I do hope that, you know, overall he gets the positive reaction that he deserves when he returns back to his old place of work. So, yeah, it'll be a good game. I think that might overshadow things a little bit, but then hopefully once the game gets underway, you know, what happens out there on the pitch will be the big talking point.
Touch wood. Yeah, well, fingers crossed it goes ahead. Thanks for listening, everyone. That brings us to a close for today. Sorry, this one wasn't on a slightly brighter note. And touch wood, next time we speak, we'll have some football to talk about. In the meantime, stay safe and have a great Christmas.
Merry Christmas.